Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no-apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. Okay, look, the doctrine of the Trinity is confusing for even long-time Christians, and it is often a stumbling block for those who do not believe. We say we worship one God, and yet we speak of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each as God, but not three gods. We have names for the Trinity, like the Godhead, and we speak of one God in three persons. So how does the doctrine of the Trinity actually reveal God in all His glory? How do the interpersonal relationships between the three persons of the Godhead really work? Well, we'll look at all of those questions and more on this Trinity Sunday. So grab your Bible, turn it to John chapter 16, and prepare your heart and mind as we look at the Godhead 3-in-1.
This morning we read the Nicene Creed, and we're going to come back to it at some point in the sermon message, because I believe that the Nicene Creed, more than the Apostles' Creed, really does speak of the divinity of all three persons of the Trinity. And the Trinity is what we're going to talk about today. Today is Trinity Sunday. It is the Sunday after Pentecost on the church calendar. It's also sort of the bookend for what we call ordinary time or kingdom tide that goes throughout the summer. Trinity Sunday is the opening bookend, and the closing bookend is Christ the Lord Sunday, which is the Sunday just before Advent begins. What is the focus of Trinity Sunday? It's just what it says. We focus on the Trinity. We look at God in three persons, and hopefully you've been able to pick up on that with the hymns that we sang this morning as well. But the Trinity is a tricky concept. It's a concept that throughout history has tripped up many Christians, has caused many denominations to go awry even. There are some Christian denominations today who do not believe in the triune nature of God. We, being Methodists, we believe in the triune God, the Godhead 3-in-1, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's look at what Jesus had to say about the triune nature of God in the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 12. Let's hear the word of the Lord for us today. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, because He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. For this reason I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we ask for Your guidance and Your wisdom to be upon us as we open up Your holy word and we expound upon this doctrine of the Trinity. We know it's difficult to understand, Lord, and we know, though, that Your wisdom is greater than man's wisdom, and so we just ask for Your wisdom to guide us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is an inherent trouble with the Trinity because we worship one God. And it sounds like a contradiction. And in fact, a lot of people point to the Christian doctrine of the Trinity and say it's troublesome. Christian math doesn't add up. 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Doesn't make any sense. In fact, it's a really hard doctrine to understand. But I think it's one that if we can accept it, we can endeavor to understand it. But I think it is something that we will never fully comprehend and understand until we come face to face with God in glory. And then all things will be revealed to us. Because of the triune nature of God, as Jesus presented Himself to His disciples as the Son of God, but also not just the Son of God, but also God. And he said things like, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. And he spoke of an advocate, a counselor, or a Holy Spirit that would be given to his disciples when he leaves. And so, Jesus pointed to three natures of God, three persons, if you will. The Father, his Father, our Father, whom he said we should call Abba. Abba meaning daddy, which is it's an Aramaic term meaning daddy. So our Father, his Father, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God in the flesh, God the Word made flesh. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Saying that Jesus is divine. Jesus not only is the Son of God, Jesus is God. So God the Father, God the Son, and finally God the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, sometimes referred to as the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Spirit is, I think, a part of God that we as Christians, although we pray for God's Spirit to be upon us, we pray to invoke God's Spirit within us, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is probably the least understood and the least worshipped. Very few of us actually pray, O Holy Spirit, O Holy Spirit, I praise you. You are wonderful. You are the creator. You are the sustainer. You are, you know, we very few of us actually pray and praise to the Holy Spirit as the third person in the Trinity. So like I said, many heresies have arisen by misunderstanding the triune nature of God. Modalism is a heresy which says that each of the persons of the Trinity are a separate way that God presents himself to people. So the Father is separate from the Son, and the Son is separate from the Holy Spirit, yet all three are one God. It's considered heresy because it denies that the act of God as a whole is inherent in all three persons. The act of creation is not just an act of God the Father, but Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit were all present in part of the creation. The act of salvation is not just merely an act of God the Son, but it's God the Father and the Holy Spirit who acted also in that act of justification on the cross. So modalism is a heresy. Another heresy is called tritheism. Tritheism meaning that we worship three gods, three distinct separate gods. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit being separate, not one God. And that is a heresy because we only worship one God. Now, in the early church, in the first and second centuries, another heresy arose from a man named Marcion. We looked at Marcion quite a bit when we studied the Apostles' Creed in our Bible study. Marcion, his heresy was that God, the Creator, was not the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament was an evil God named Yahweh, who created everything, who created all of matter. He said that the Spirit is holy and matter, or physical being, is evil inherently. There is nothing good that can be in the flesh. Therefore, God could not have been in the flesh. This is an outright heresy because God became flesh. The Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh. And God, when he created all of creation, declared it to be very good. And although we may differentiate between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New, they are one and the same. God is God, and God does not change. What changes is our relationship with God. We change when we encounter God. So we have these heresies that have come up. The question of Christ's divinity was not really so much of an issue in the early church. The biggest issue was the Gnostic concept that Christ was not human. In other words, again, they kind of fell along the lines with Marcion, who said that all spirit is good and all matter is evil. And so they said Christ, being God, could not possibly be matter, could not be flesh, because all flesh is evil. And there is no way that a holy God could inhabit evil flesh. That's what the Gnostics said. So they denied the humanity of Christ. They said he didn't actually die on the cross. He just appeared to have died on the cross. Again, it's another heresy. But in the third century, there was a man who came out of Carthage. His name was Tertullian. And Tertullian is extremely important in the history of the Trinity. For one thing, he was the one who coined the phrase Trinity, the word Trinity, which comes from two Latin words, tri meaning three, and unitas meaning unity. So Trinity is a tri-unity, a unity of three. And it goes along with what the Old Testament says about God. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." But that word one is echad. That's the Hebrew word, echad, which doesn't mean one and only one, singular. It means unity. The same word that is used in Genesis, that when it says that for this reason a man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The two shall become one flesh. Echad, a unity. The same word that is used to describe God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, unity, echad. So it's not that God is just one person. Even the Jews believed in a Holy Spirit. They talked about the Holy Spirit descending upon David. David being full of the Holy Spirit. And so God was a unity. God wasn't just one being, but a unity. Tertullian came up with this idea that God was a tri-unity, triune, or trinity. He also came up with the concept of a person. Tertullian had a background in Roman law. In fact, there are some Roman court documents that list Tertullian as one of the arguers. So, he had this concept of a person, and the Roman concept of a person is not a singular person, but an entity. Could be an entity of a corporation, could be known as a person in Roman law. And so, again, it's the idea of a unity. And he also came up with a term called subsistence. Each of the persons of the Trinity subsist unto themselves and are unified with each other. So Tertullian was extremely important in forming our modern idea of what the Trinity is. Looking at the text, Jesus said to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Now this was at the Last Supper. He had not been betrayed. He had not been handed over. He had not been tortured, beaten, crucified. He had not been risen. there were many things that the disciples would not understand until after the crucifixion and after the resurrection. And so he said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. On the other side of the resurrection, they could bear all that he had to tell them. But they would not understand until he went through the crucifixion and the resurrection. Jesus speaks of the Spirit of truth. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that dwells within every Christian believer. The Spirit of truth teaches us, guides us, convicts us. When we are doing something wrong, the Spirit of truth tells us. We know. We feel guilt. We feel shame. How do we know? It's not because we're doing something that is good, not because we're doing something that is right. We don't feel guilty over doing something that is good. We do something, we feel guilty over doing something that we know is not correct. And so the Spirit of truth convicts our hearts. Without that Spirit of truth, we just float along our merry way and do whatever we want. It doesn't matter. So if you ever do something and feel convicted later, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That's that Spirit of truth dwelling in you. It's that still small voice, as Jiminy Cricket says. Okay, bad theology, but it does have a biblical reference, the still small voice. The purpose of the Spirit, though, is to glorify Jesus. He says in verse 14, he will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, glory, all glory and honor and praise belongs to God and God alone. So for the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, to glorify God the Son indicates the divinity of the Son as well. God is glorified in all three persons of the Trinity. Think about this. If you think of the Trinity as a triangle, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. But the Father is in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. The Son is in the Father and in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in the Father and in the Son. So they are all in each other, but they are not each one another. And they all glorify each other as well. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Father. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Son. The Son, everything that Jesus did when he came to earth, he did to glorify God the Father. And in fact, he tells us that we are to glorify God as well. He said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before people that they will see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Everything that Jesus did glorified the Father. And verse 15 speaks to the special relationship between the Father and the Son. He says, all that the Father has is mine. All that the Father has is mine. Now that's not just an inheritance. He's not saying all that the Father has will be mine, but all that the Father has is mine. So he's saying that he is equal with the Father. What is the Father's is the Son's, and what is the Son's is the Father. The Trinity is a strictly Christian concept, but it's based on Jewish understanding. We talked about Echad. It's a unity. It's not Yahid. Yahid is a Hebrew word which means one and only one. And so when God called to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your one and only son, Isaac, whom you love, and take him to sacrifice him on the mountain where I will tell you. That word there is Yahid, one and only one Son. Yahid. God is a unity. He is Echad. He is a unity. He's not just one. He is three in one. The Trinity is the basis for our understanding of God. If we look at the Nicene Creed on page 880, you see what I think is a very good understanding of all three persons of the Trinity. And the reason I think that this is a better understanding than the Apostles' Creed is the Apostles' Creed talks a great deal about what Christ did, but not so much about who Christ was. It does say Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. That's as far as it goes. And then talks about who He or what He does. The Nicene Creed begins, "We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen." God in the Nicene Creed is described as the Father, the Almighty, the maker, the creator of everything, everything that is around us, of all that is seen and unseen. Everything that we can see and everything that we can't see that exists, God made it. Then it goes on to say, "We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father." Begotten of the Father. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Jesus is not separate from God the Father. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, but He is united in unity with God, of one being with the Father. And then, as if there was any doubt, having just described God the Father as the Maker, He said, "Through Him all things were made." So Jesus is also a Creator, the Son, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, and begotten, not made. Jesus is not a creation of God. He is God. He is begotten of the Father. And if you skip down to the bottom part of the triad here, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. If God the Father and God the Son are equal, then the Holy Spirit proceeds from both. With the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. See, all three persons of the Trinity are equal, united, and one. He has spoken through the prophets. The Trinity, again, is a hard concept to understand. I have to tell you, I put more research into this sermon, I think, than pretty much any sermon that I've done. And you could very easily get lost. I could be here until 5 o'clock this afternoon and not cover everything that I've learned in the last week. But it's a mystery. It's a holy mystery. It's hard to understand. John Wesley, in his sermon on the Trinity, said this. He said, "I believe this fact also, if I may use the expression, that God is three and one. But the manner how, I do not comprehend, and I do not believe it. Now in this, in the manner, lies the mystery, and so it may. I have no concern with it. It is no object of my faith. I believe just so much as God has revealed, and no more." In other words, he says, I believe that God is a triune God. How? I don't know. I don't understand it. But not understanding is not an obstacle to my faith. That's what John was saying in his sermon on the Trinity. So here we are on Trinity Sunday. We celebrate our understanding of the Godhead, three in one, as it was, as much as of our understanding as it is. It's hard. It's hard to understand. It's hard to grasp. It's just not easy. And people spend a lifetime studying the triune nature of God and come close to understanding, but probably never do. Then one day, those people, they fall over dead. And they end up in heaven where they are facing the triune God. And then they understand all things completely. I look forward to that day. Until then, I do endeavor to try and understand God in the three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each person worshiped and glorified, each glorifying the others. Each distinct, and yet all three, one God. I pray to God the Father, I pray to God the Son, and I pray to God the Holy Spirit. Different times, whatever I need at that moment. And I pray to invoke the Holy Spirit when I step into the sanctuary here and I come down to the altar and I always say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." I need God's Spirit to be in me, to dwell in me, to guide me, His Spirit of truth, to guide me so that I may not give you any misinformation. As a teacher, I'm held more accountable than someone who is listening to my teaching. And so, I need God's Spirit. But God the Father acted in ages past. He knew my name before I was ever born, before I was ever conceived. In eternities past, He knew me. And He called to me then. He sent His Son to die on a cross for my sins. He did the same for each and every one of you. And so, this Trinity Sunday, let us celebrate our triune God, the Godhead three in one. Let us celebrate each and every person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we celebrate all three in unity. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray that You would guide us in all truth and help us with understanding. We know that this teaching is a hard one. We know that this is a difficult lesson to understand. But we also ask for You to fill us with awe at Your awesome presence. Fill us with so much just incredible wonderment that we fall to our knees to worship You. Reveal to us the relationships of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and also Your relationship with us in each of the three persons. And now, Lord, we just pray that all glory and honor would be to You through Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Patricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. And we also have Bible study during the week. And now, if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? And consider sharing it on the social media platform of your choice. You can also access this podcast through the Podbean app on Android or on iTunes. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep listening, keep growing, and I pray that God will continue to bless you in your journey of faith. Amen.